All right, if you'd like to read with us in the 18th chapter of Ezekiel. And I don't know why I come to church this morning thinking that I was going to be preaching in two different chapters of another book. And just as I was coming to the pulpit, this come to my mind, and I looked it up here in the pulpit. And I want each one of you to pay attention to this, whether it's a warning to you, or it's to let you know so you might reach out to someone that you love. But here in this 18th chapter, we're going to start reading at the 24th verse. But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. Now, you'll find the first part of that is a question. Shall he live? And then he answers it. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done, shall he die. Now, I want each one of you to pay attention to what we've read to you here. We listen all the time to people talking about the injustice of this, the injustice of that, but yet man really does not want justice. We want it for somebody else, but for ourselves, we don't want justice. We want compassion. We want mercy from everybody to overlook what I've done because we overlook it ourselves. But yet God here has told us that we're going to be judged by what we've done ourselves. And it, no matter how good that you might have been, if you turn from that, when you stand before God, God's going to judge you by the way that you're living when you die. He didn't say about all that you've done in the past. How did you stand before me on that last day that you lived? What were you doing for me then? And I was listening this week to the news and people talking about the injustice of letting that man out that was convicted of bombing that plane where I think it was 160 some people killed. And he was sentenced to life in prison. And after 8 years, he's got prostate cancer. And they say he's only going to live about 3 more months. So they showed him compassion. And they let him out of prison. What does a life sentence mean? If he was to die in prison, not turn him out because he got sick. That didn't make him not guilty. But he needed a savior until he paid what he sins would. You and I, when we come before righteous God, we stand here in judgment. God's not going to look down and say, oh, because you died a horrible death in that life, I'm going to show you compassion. You may deserve to go to hell, but I'm going to let you go to hell. No, that's not what he's going to say. He said, my ways are already shared. My judgment is already determined. You either live the way I say, or when you stand before me, you've died the very hands of God. Because he said exactly what he was going to do. And God is bound by his word. He will not lie. And what he said here, when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done shall he die. That second one, he's not talking about the death here. He's talking about that second death in hell. And you and I, it would be bad enough if a person that went to hell was in a body like mine or yours, that in just a little time would be burned up and gone. That would be bad enough. But God said he's going to give you one where it won't burn up. It will never end. He said, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. You and I, if we miss heaven, it isn't that a lot of people said you missed it all. You just missed all the good part. You'll still be for all of eternity there being tortured without a relief, without anything killer, without anything to hell. You and I hear it, but Lord was talking about her foot being hurt. You can go to a doctor if you're hurting bad enough. They can give you something that will take the pain away. But those in hell, they'll have something to quench that pain. Nothing for relief. You'll find according to the Bible. It says they'll dance one another with their tail. Why here? Back years ago. Before they asked so much for pain. A person that would get in pain real bad. They give a stick or something in their mouth. And they could bite down all real hard. As if there was hell. But you and I today. God is showing mercy on the name of family. And God's forgiveness extended. But if we don't accept it, when we stand before God, we're going to find God's ways are just and fair, because he's already told us what he's going to do. And when we get there, that's what we're going to get. He said, your ways are unequal. Mine are. You know, you go to court here, two people can go in charged with the exact same crime and walk out with total different punishments. You wouldn't, to see the punishment, you'd think, well, they must have been guilty of something different. Why? Man's ways are not equal. But God says, mine are. And you know what he says separates from God? Sin. He didn't say a big sin, a little white, black lie or white lie or whatever they want to call it. That ain't what separates. It's just sin. Anything that is wrong in the sight of God. Anything that God says is displeasing unto him. That will send you and me to hell if it's not forgiven. And I thank God. He made it possible. If you read the 27th, again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. Isn't that wonderful? God recognized the wickedness that the man done. But he said, if he turns from that, if he'll repent before me, he shall save his soul alive. Not that he didn't deserve it. Not that he didn't deserve to die. Just because the mercy and the forgiveness of God is there. Just like that man there that blew that plane up. All the people died. No doubt telling how many unprepared to be God without intuition. But that man, if he humbled himself before God, could even be forgiven of that. You and I today Christ hung on Calvary saying, Father, forgive him. Instead of calling for his sin, instead of saying the human family don't deserve forgiveness, they're so evil and wicked, let's just destroy them. God, he hung there on Calvary saying, Father, forgive him. Why? Because he was shedding his blood for my sin and yours, that we might be forgiven. You know, if we will repent today, no matter how low in sin we may have gone, the blood of Jesus Christ is able to redeem us unto a righteous God. To make it in the eyes of God as if we never sinned. Why? We're clean. You know, I'm amazed. My wife, not always, but sometimes when she's doing the laundry, I've got a couple of old white shirts that got some stains on them that got missed or something, and they're permanently in there. But I'm amazed when I take them off sometime after wearing them there on the farm and how greasy and black that I've got them. When the next time I go get them out of the closet, how pretty and white they are. She cleans them off. And it's as if I hadn't worn them. Why? Because she went through a process and took the time to clean out the spot. Me and you, isn't it wonderful in the eyes of God? When the blood of Jesus Christ is applied, He cleans us up as if we've never sinned. Just as if we've heard. That's how I could appear righteous in the sight of God, is keeping my sins under the blood. When I fail God, don't fail to get on my knees and ask God to forgive me. Why? That's what it takes to cleanse you up to where you appear in the eyes of God. Pure and clean again. That blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from our sin. But first of all, we must come and repent to be cleaned. Adhere in this. But when the righteous turn away from his righteousness, you and I, anything that we do that's displeasing to God is turning from our righteousness. Because God's the one that looks at us and sees righteousness if we're buried beneath the blood of Jesus Christ. And if we walk away from that, that's when the iniquity begins to show, isn't it? And I'm amazed at how fast you can see people that once were Christians that went to church, and if they turn their back and walk away from that, I'm amazed at how fast they go downhill. Just how fast you see their life just be destroyed. And a lot of times, the whole family. And you and I today, God is still showing mercy. But yet, it all depends upon whether we want to believe God and take Him at His word. Here again, He said, "Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal." You know, have you ever heard people say, "Well, that's not fair. What God has, that's not fair." And, you know, I can remember a few years ago, there was a person waiting on death row in Texas. And they had got right with the Lord. And there was this church group that was protesting, trying to get their sentence commuted to life in prison. And I remember hearing the interview with the one that was guilty. And she said, "I did what I'm accused of. And God has forgiven me. But I still did the crime. And I understand that they got to take my life." And she wasn't asking them to extend it. She said, "That's the punishment. I did it. God has forgiven me, but I owe that to society." You and I today, you know, when God comes into our heart, we can face whatever this world is throwing at us. No matter if we deserve to be put to death here in this life for our crime, we can face that. Why? because we know in our heart we've been forgiven. Man don't forgive like that. And according to the Bible, you just pay your debts to society. If you're guilty of a crime, then you're to be found guilty and pay what society says. But isn't it nice to know that God can forgive us? For though we may owe a debt to society that takes our life, God has given life unto each and every one of us if we reach out and take hold of it. Death here does not mean death for eternity. It can be the beginning of how to really live. And each and every one of us, I beg you, you know, I've known quite a few people in my life that have died that was Christians, and I look forward to seeing again. And I've known quite a few that died that I knew wasn't. And you know the sad part about that? It is so hard to look at that person in a casket that you know who's lost. To look at them and know that's the last time you'll ever see them. That person who's right with God, I've looked at them laying there in the casket and literally envied them that their battle was over. Each and every one of us, if we're truly right with God, when we lay this body down, all the Christians that we know, when they look at us, are going to be looking at us with envy. Why? Because you've done fought your battle and you've won. Don't you know, Timothy and them, when Paul died, though he died a death that nobody would want to die, being beheaded, though he died that kind of a death, don't you know that all those Christian people, when they heard his testimony, was envying what was waiting for him and what they wanted to see themselves. Well, God has placed that within reach of each and every one of us. And we should set our mind and our heart to see what God has for us. Why? We can't imagine it. We can't begin to understand it here. And until we get there, there's no way that anybody's going to be able to tell us just how it is. So set your mind and heart to go and see for yourself. You know, I have, and you'll probably get tired of hearing me say this too, I had seen documentaries on Yosemite Valley. I had seen videos of it. I'd even talked to people that had been there. But they was nothing to compare like standing in that valley and looking at those granite mountains and the water coming off of them. Nothing could compare with that. All that I'd seen in a screen on a television or whatever it might have been, it ain't like seeing. I mean, when you see it on a television screen, you can't realize it's 3,000 feet to the top of that. That's a long way. We're standing there and seeing that and just thinking, what kind of a shock was it to the first man that walked into that valley and seen that? What's it going to be like to walk in there and see that for himself? No doubt, as we're going in, the roar is going to be going up in praise to all wise and powerful God. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ made it possible for you to be there. Each and every one of us, never lose sight of that. No matter what the temptations of this world is, there is nothing that is good enough to make. If you could live 100 years in the pleasures of this world, worth turning your back upon God for. It isn't worth it. Because when this life is over, talk to a person that's in their 80s, their 90s. They'll tell you, life's not very long. Eternity's long. While we get some song to sing, heard one here this morning, or something in your heart that you need to pray about, now's the time to do it. Don't wait for tomorrow. You have no promise of tomorrow. All you've got is this time right here. As I've said many times, the breath in your lungs, that one you can claim. The blood your heart is pumping right now, that you can claim. The next breath is in the hands of God. The next beat of your heart is in the hands of God. Your heart, it don't have to just sort of flutter and gradually quit. It could be beating perfect and then just stop. Hitting just fine and then stop. When God says, that's it, it's going to quit. I beg you, know how your life is right now with God. If you don't, while we sing this song, will you come? The mercies of God is extended unto each and every one of us. And God wants each of His children to know that they've passed from death into life. Will you call? So righteous, see what